Today's shiur will be beginning from Daf Samach Tes Omed Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. The opening of the Gemara is assuming you're familiar with the Mishnah that appeared at the bottom of Samach Tes Omed Beis. The Mishnah had meant in its opening comment that one who sells a field sells along with that Avonim Shehem Litzorcha. Literally, would be stones that are necessary for it, for the field. In this piece of Gemara, as you go down the Omid, you'll notice there are a lot of geometric forms. Some are quite repetitive. In fact, the diamond form you'll see is quite repetitive, and we'll have to explain what its presence is here for. But before we get into the text itself, let us glance at the topic heading. It's found on the outside margin, entitled Nosei Klali, the general topic. In the marking conditions that you are using, and for many of you it appears on your screen right now, we encourage you, of course, to print out the daf, and even better, to order your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. The Nosei Klali in the outside margin says Amud Gemara Zeh, this side of the Gemara, Murkov Mipiskois Ksorois, is made up of short legal decisions, or short phrases, Kidei Vahazbir Prote HaMishnah, to explain the details that were found in the Mishnah, Be'inyan Dvorim HaKlulim, regarding those things that were included, V'enom Klulim, and not included, the Mechira Sodin, the sale of fields. Before we get into the Gemara, we ought to also note the Mivneh comment. The Mivneh in the marked Gemara editions describes what it's a structural note. What are the geometric forms going to be doing on your page? So you'll notice the double underline form, which serves the same role as the other geometric forms, to show something of a repetitive nature, something of a series nature. In this case, what we've used the double underline, it's explained here. Number one, Hocha Tergimu. Here it was explained. It's going to give you one opinion as to what the different items in the Mishnah are. And the second reference with that double underline will be Te'ula, another opinion. There'll be two opinions as to what the different things are in the Mishnah, particularly you'll see at the opening part of the Gemara. In addition to that, we have to note that the Hocha Tergimu versus Ula are Cholkin Behezber HaAvonim. They're arguing as to what the role or what the explanation of the stones are in the Mishnah. Additionally, we're going to see diamonds. The diamonds will be surrounding Rebbe Meir and the Rabbonin. You see that on the page. As you scan down the page, you notice those names are constantly being marked in the diamond. Yesh Leforesh Shnei Hamikrim Avonim Vekonim. We have to explain two of the examples in the Mishnah, the stones and the issue of the konim, the reeds. Echad Shehein Litzorcha, the first point are going to be stones and reeds that are necessary for the field. And the second one will be stones and reeds She'enon Litzorcha, that are not necessary for the field. Lefi Shnei Deos Elu Shechokin Be'inyan, according to these two opinions that are arguing with one another, Shechokin Be'inyan Ramat HaHachona V'Haktsa'o Debo'i, they are arguing as to what level of preparation and reservation for the field is necessary. Kedei Lios Kolu B'Mechiro. In other words, if I'm selling you a field and I happen to have stones in some dump truck 20 miles away from the field, obviously when I sell you the field, I'm not including those stones. The stones are disconnected from the field altogether. So what level of connection to the field is necessary in order for the stones or these reeds that were featured in the Mishnah, how much of a connection do they have to have with the field? And you'll see that will be the subject of controversy here. So we take a look at the Gemara itself inside. My Avonim Shehein Litzorcha, noticing that is a quote from the Mishnah. What is meant by avonim that are litzorcha, that are included in the sale of the field? So, opinion one, hacha targimu, here in Bovel, possibly, it was explained, avne de'achfa. And we have noted between the lines, avonim sheminichim al omrim shelo yispazru. These are stones, they're weight stones. They're placed on the sheaves so that they don't scatter in the wind. After you harvest the grain, it's, you leave it in the field to dry. So these stones are put as a weight on them. Ula Omar, the second opinion is, avonim hasduros legeder. These are stones that are set up in the field. They're set up in the field to serve as a fence. The Gemara asks, v'ha tani Rebbi Chiya, avonim tzvuros legeder. Notice there's a one-word change. Ula referenced sduros, that are set up, that are the word from the word seder, systematic fashion, stone row upon row. These, according to Rebbi Chiya's Tanaic sources, you notice there's a frame around this section. Framed sections are Tanaic sources. And so Rebbi Chiya introduces his source with this difference that the stones are included in the sale even if they are simply piled up, not sduros, just a pile of stones in the field. So that question on Ula, so the Gemara answers, Tani sduros, restate that which Rebbi Chiya has as far as sources concerns, read in it and rather the word sduros, set up, as opposed to just a pile of. Before we go on in the Gemara, there's going to be a reference to Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan, and it's going to appear quite a bit in the Gemara. They will be appearing in a diamond, and there's a certain assumption that one is familiar with the reference to Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan. In order to appreciate the background for that, we have a little note on the inside, in the outside margin, there's a little asterisk, and it says there, Lefi Rebbe Meir, hu nichlal b'mechira b'hachona mu'etes, that with little reservation or preparation, things can be included in sales. Masha'enkein lefi harabonon bo'i hachona meruba. As opposed to the Chachomim, they require more preparation and more reservation and more identification with the general thing that's being sold for these appurtenances to be included in the sale. So again, Rebbe Meir requires less reservation and identification. The Rabbanan require more. I'm not giving you all of the background. The Rashbam gives you the actual source material, but for our purposes, that is enough to know for now. Rebbe Meir less, and the Rabbanan require more. The first opinion, remember with the double underline, we had the Hocha Tergimu and Ula. The first opinion, the Hocha Tergimu, explained the stones that were Litzorcha were weight stones. So in the Gemara, we're going to then, after we mentioned weight stones, we're going to then analyze what would Rebbe Meir require and what would the Rabbanan require in order for the weight stones to be included in the sale. Once again, I'll give you the example we used before. Imagine you have weight stones in a dump truck that's 20 miles away from where the field that's being sold is located. So if I'm selling you the field, no one would think that the stones, the weight stones in the dump truck are included. So how do I get the stones to be included in the sale as far as this topic is concerned? So let's see the Gemara. Going over what was mentioned before, Hocha Targimu Avnei De'achpa. We've employed the use of an arrow that appears in the space between the Tosfos and the Gemara, so as you don't have to search for where this might be coming from. You notice it's coming from the top line where the Hocha Targimu appeared. Mentioned here, the Avonim Hatzrich Shein Litzorcha of the Sada are weight stones. So the Gemara now goes on. The Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, whom we introduced before, saying that things, in order to be included with the field, don't require too much preparation. De mesaknon afagav de lo machton. They've been mesaknon, like identified with the field, even though they're not lying in the field. They're machton, they're not resting in the field mamish. The rabbonon, who the machton, the rabbonon who required greater preparation, says the stones will be included only if they're lying in the field and actually lying in the field. So what did we just do? We gave you the two Tanaic opinions and their requirements with regard to the first Amoraic opinion regarding the identification of the stones. So we have two things going on at once. We have identifying what are the stones, weight stones versus fence stones. And then within each opinion, how much preparation is needed. Continuing. Uli Ula, the Omar Avonim Hasturos Legeter, Ula's explanation of the Mishnah's stones were stones that were set up for making for as a fence. L'Rabbi Meir, the Mesakton Afagav de Los Sidron. It's enough that the stones have been identified with the field, reserved for the field, even if they're not literally set up as such. L'Rabbonon, who the Sidron. According to the Rabbonon, the stones have to have been set up or lined up as well in order to be included in the sale of the field. Continuing, a quote from the Mishnah, the Es HaKonim Shebekerem Shem Litzorcho, when one is selling a field, we said reeds that are in the vineyard that are Litzorcho, that are for the purpose of the vineyard. The Gemara asks, Konim Maya Viditayu, the Rashbam, in the lower part of the narrow lines, Konim Maya Viditayu, Matzrichin Lekerem, Konim Hagedelim Bekarka. What necessity is there for a vineyard having growing reeds, reeds growing in the vineyard? The Konim Stamo, Mashma Le, Bemokum Gidulon, Kemo Chitzes HaKonim. The expression Konim, if unqualified, sounds like Konim where they're growing. So the question is, we're talking about the sale of a vineyard, and all of a sudden the Mishnah says, well, you have a sale of a vineyard, you have reeds growing in the vineyard, they're included in the sale. What's the connection? The Gemara answers, Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, Konim HaMechulokin Shema'amidin Tachas HaGifanim. We've been learning Maseches Bava Basra alongside the Pirush Chai, a book of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush. In order to appreciate this particular example, he has an illustration 6:14. You see in this picture these konim hamechulokin shemamidim tachas akfanim. They are poles, these are reeds that serve to support the vines. As far as the technical definition of konim hamechulokin, there's a machlokus between the Rashbam and the Tosfos. The Rashbam says they're split. And you could see that in the diagram under the Dalid, where the Dalid appears, they're split. And the branch of the vine would be inserted in that split section of the pole. The Tosfos offers an alternative explanation in the name of the Oruch, and he says, Mechulokim from the word chalak, smooth, the bark has been removed from these reeds. And the purpose of removing the bark says that that prevents them from becoming wormy. An interesting insight into areas of agriculture and plant development. Continuing in the Gemara. Once having said what the role of the konim are, now we go back to the same style as we had been using before. What about the tanoim? What level of preparation is necessary in order for them to be included in the sale? So we go on. L'Rebbe Meir, de Meshafion, Afagav, Dolo, Mukmon. According to Rebbe Meir, it's as long as they are Meshafion, Meshupin is tapered. He has been illustrated in the Pirush Chai. The Os Gimel, letter Gimel, has the where the pole comes to a point where it's tapered. And as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, it's enough that they're formed as poles, afagav delo mukman, even if they haven't been set up upright and wedged into the ground yet. The Rabbonon, however, who require a greater level of preparation of identification in order to be included in the sale, hu de mukman. They'll be included if they are also standing upright. Only then will they be included in the sale. Continuing, as you can see, we're analyzing the Mishnah point by point, and that's what was mentioned in our introductory remark. V'es hatvua hamuchuberes lekarka v'chulei. Grains that are attached to the ground, the afagav dematoi lemichtzad. Even if the time to harvest has arrived, that's matoi is the time has arrived for their being harvested. So the chiddush here is that they're expected to be harvested and hence detached. But they're nevertheless included in the sale because they are still physically attached. V'yes chitzes hakonim shepchusa mibeis rova. The chitzes hakonim is illustrated in the Pirush Chai 6:11. It's a group, a cluster of reeds that are growing. The Mishnah qualifies that they will be included in the sale of the field, provided they are less than a base rova. That's a particular dimension of ground. So if they're less than that dimension, so they don't have their own significance, and hence they're included in the sale. That was, of course, what the Mishnah qualified. The Gemara comments, V'afalgav da'alimi, the chiddush here is, even though they are thick reeds, and you might say, well, as far as even though the area is limited, but nevertheless the quality of the reed is great, nevertheless they're included, because the determining factor is the area that they occupy, and hence they're under the standard, they're less than a base rova, so they're included in the field. V'yes ha-shomera she'eno asuya betit. There's an illustration of the shomera, we can refer to it as a booth. This is included in the field, provided it's not with cement. As far as the presence or the purpose of the cement, there are two opinions in Rishonim. The Rashbam's opinion is that the Shomera is either yes or not coated with tits surrounding it, a layer of tit around it. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Shomer will be included if it's not coated with tit. Afagav, the lo kviya ba'ara. The chidush is, even though it's not affixed to the ground, so you might have thought it's a separate entity, nevertheless, it's included in the sale. V'yes hachoruv she'eno murka, v'yes pesulas hashikma. The choruv tree that has not been grafted yet, it's still in its young stage. This was a point that we might have seen in the Rashbam in the previous shiur. Rashbam had mentioned on the Mishnah the choruv she'eno murkav. Those of you who have access to the Afsama Ches Amud Beis, he says at the lower part of the page, there's a choruv she'eno murkav dainu bebacharuso, when it's young. But as it ages, then they graft onto it other things, and it becomes significant in and of itself. And it doesn't become botel to the field. Continuing in the Gemara, says that these trees, the Chorov Sheinu Murkov and the Besulas HaShikma, the unpruned Shikma tree, even though Afagav Da'alimi, even though they're thick, they're big, but nevertheless, since they are still in the Eino Murkov state or the Besula state, they're still included in the field sale. And then the Mishnah, as you can see now, we takes a turn. We use the squiggle underline to indicate the turn of events. Avo lo mochar loy esu avonim she'enon litzorcha. Stones that are enon litzorcha are not included in the sale of the field. Le Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, what's the missing factor? The lo misaknon. They haven't been reserved for the field at all. The Rabbonon, they may have, yes, been reserved for the field, but the lo machton, they're not lying in the field, hence they're not included in the sale. Ula, the Omar Avonim Hasturos Legeder. According to Ula, that the Avonim featured in the Mishnah were stones that were destined to be used as a fence for the field. These are not included, the Rebbe Meir, the lo misaknon, when we're talking about stones that haven't been reserved for the field. The Rabbonon, they might have, yes, been reserved for the field, but still they're not included in the sale, the lo sidron, because they haven't been lined up. The lo esakonim shebekerem she'enon litzorchoi. Reeds, at times, will not be included. Under what circumstances will the reeds that would, reeds which would ultimately be used for the vines, but under what circumstances will these reeds not be included? So once again, we analyze, according to each Tana, why, or under what circumstances, the Rebbe Meir, the lo mishafion, which we're talking about reeds that haven't been formed, haven't been tapered to form poles. And the Rabbonon, they might have been tapered into a point, but nevertheless, the lo mukman, they're not standing erect. Hence, they're not included in the sale of the field. V'lo es hatvua hatlusha min hakarka. Grains that have been harvested, have been tolush, removed, disconnected from the ground, are not included in the sale of the field. And the chidush here is, the afagav ditzricho liaro, even though these grains need to be on the ground. What do they need if they've been detached? What do they need to be on the ground for? In order to dry out during the summer season, the hot season, grains after they're harvested, they're left in the field to dry. So even though they're still using the ground, so to speak, nevertheless, when the field is sold, these are not included. V'lo eschitzas hakonim shehi beis rova. We had explained before that a beis rova would constitute a significant area. So the chitzas hakonim will not be included if it's a beis rova. That's what the Mishnah said. So, but what's the chiddush of this? The afagav, the ktini. Even though they're very thin reeds, the determining factor was the area, not the quality of the reeds. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Lo chitzas hakonim bilvad. Not only chitzas hakonim, which occupies a base rova, not only that will not be included. Elo afilu aruga ketano shel besomim. V'yesh lo shem b'fnei atzmo, eino nimkeres imo. Even if something's less than a base rova, let's say a row of spice plants. Spice plants, we find different references in the Shas for spice plants, they can be very expensive. And as such, they're not going to be included in the sale of a field because of their inherent significance. That's the idea of Yesh Lo Shem B'fnei Atzma, they're referred to as a separate entity. Omar Rav Popa, V'hu Dekoru Lo Varda Deplanya. The idea of them having a shame if the announcement is not included in the field, that's provided they're referred to as the Varda, it's a type of plant, Varda of so-and-so's Varda. There's a note in the Rashbam that essentially we might have already said outside, but taking a look in the text, in the wide section, there's a dashed, underlined section in the middle of the wide lines. V'u'adin l'chol dover sheyesh lo shem b'fnei atzmo. And the halacha that we said, as far as the chitzas hakonim is concerned, it applies to anything that has its own identity. As far as the reeds, the cluster of reeds, only there was an area defined. The milsa de psika he, because it's something that is definitive. Base rova versus not base rova. That means definitive. The e have a base rova, yesh lo shem bifne atzmo. The e lo. If it has a base rova in area, then that's considered a shem bifne atzmo. Less than that is not, and hence it's included with the field. Continuing in the Gemara, velo hashomera ho asuya betit, the booth that is coated with cement, we mentioned, is not included in the field. The afagav de kviya bi'ara, even if it's affixed to the ground, it's set, it's kavua in the ground, it's nevertheless not included. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice the appearance of a new geometric form, and as such, we have to define its role. In order to do that, we take advantage of the note on the side, the nosei mivne. You notice the volcano shape, sidra shel she'elois be'inyan kol b'mechira. We'll have a set of questions. They are introduced by the word boi. You notice them appearing on the page here, till the lower part of the page. Three of them. Regarding things included in field sales. I may add, not only field sales, but in general, a sale of something, because the examples of the Gemara are not going to be talking about fields, but other things. The other marking that appears is a double underline with dots in it to distinguish it from the previous double underlines. It's a new series, Malbinos Shell. Malbinos we can refer to as frames. Frames used for things, different things, and we'll of course take advantage of our illustration book, the Pirush Chai, as we go along. Boi Rabbi Elazar, Malbinos Shel Psochim Mahu. This regards, according to the Rashbam, the sale of a house. The Tosfos has a different shot. Tosfos wants to learn, he quotes the Ri and says regarding a Shomera, because that was the topic that the Gemara had most recently been dealing with. Hence the Tosfos prefers that approach. But we'll stick right now with the Rashbam. Imagine someone selling a house, and the Shaila comes up, what about the Malbinos Shel Psochim? So in order to appreciate this a little bit more, we'll glance at illustrations 6.15 and 6.16. 6.15 features a frame, 6.16 features a frame in the doorway. In other words, the frame that constitutes a doorway. So when selling a house, is this included as well? That's Rebbe Lozer's question. Reading that again. Boy Rebbe Lozer, Malbinos Shel Psochim, Mahu. Hecha de Mechabri Betino Lo Tiboy Aloch Deha Mechaber. Where the frame is affixed with cement, Lo Tiboyach. There's no need to ask that. It's not a question. It's attached. It's part of the house. Hi Tiboy Aloch De Nekiti Besichi Mai. The question arises when the door frame hasn't been permanently attached, but rather it's attached with pegs. So I sell you the house, and there's a frame that's going to eventually be the doorway, but it hasn't been fixed in other than it's held in place temporarily with pegs. Is that included in the sale of the house? Teku. That remains unresolved. Another question. Boy Rabbi Zera, Malbinos Shel Chaloinos Mahu. Frames that are positioned in the window. Often you have the expression window frame. Are they included? Mahu. Mi amrina lenoi ba'almahu da'avidi. That they're there for decorative purposes only. Odil mokiva de mechabri michtari. On the other hand, since they're attached to the house itself, they're attached and yes, and should be included. According to the first possibility, the aleph possibility, they wouldn't be included. Teku also remains unresolved. And finally, Boi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Malbinos Shel Kare Hamita Mahu. Illustration 6.17. These are little, they appear to be frames, you can call them little legs or shoes for the bed legs. Bed is getting all dressed up. It's got its legs and its shoes on it. They had a purpose though to isolate the bed legs, which were made of wood, from a floor that often would be damp, so that the wood of the legs wouldn't decay. These things were used. The question now is the Malbinos, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question is Malbinos shokare hamita mahu. These bed shoes, are they included in the sale of a bed? Kol heichad metalteli bahadol loti bayalachta metalteli. Any circumstance that these Malbinos hamita would move along with the bed. Why are they moving along with the bed? Because they've been nailed to the bed. So it's part of the bed. And there's no need to ask the question. If there's a bed and the bed is sitting on these frames, these little legs, or these little shoes, if you will, platforms, and if you pick up the bed, they'll stay on the ground. They're not attached to the bed. And you buy the bed. Is it included? Mora leaves this as well unresolved. Teku. A lot of these questions can be applied to a case where you see a bed in a furniture showroom. So you see a bed, you have to, and you might sign a contract with the store to have this bed delivered. The question you always ask is, what's included in the purchase of the bed? Some people aren't aware. They think they're buying a whole unit and they're really only buying the mattress. Yes, well, what about the bottoms? Oh, sorry, sir, that's a separate deal. Let's continue in the Gemara. Velo es choruv amurkov, velo sadon hashikmo. That's what the Mishnah said. As far as these kind of trees, they're not included in the sale of field. And we see as a chiddush, and we've written in what one would find in the Bach, the afagav diktini, even though they are thin. Nevertheless, since the chorov went through the grafting process, or the sadon hashikma, which is the shikma tree after it's been pruned, that's enough to disqualify them from being included in the sale of the field. Mino hanimili, regarding these, call them these significant trees. What's the background for this halacha that a chorov hamurkav and a sadon hashikma are not included in the sale of a field? Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the Omar Kro, he cites a posuk. Posuk is from the sale of the Moras HaMachpelah. Ephron sold a burial spot for Sora. And in that sale, the posuk says, Vayokum sodes stay Ephron, asher b'machpelah, v'chol ho'etz asher b'sodeh, Asher b'chol gvulo saviv. So what was transferred in this deal? There was a field. It says sodeh, stay Ephron, a field. And it mentions also all the trees that were within the boundaries. Okay, so that's going to be something Gemara is going to capitalize on. The trees that were within the boundaries are included in the sale. The Gemara points out, mi shetzorich ligvul, that which needs, in order to help define who the owner is, it needs a border as well. Those kind of trees are not very significant. Hence, trees like that without a border, I wouldn't really be able to point out who they belong to. Now that I see trees in a field with a border around the field, I understand that the trees are shayach to this field. What kind of trees need a border to help establish ownership? Insignificant trees. Yotsu elu, to the exclusion of these, namely the choruv and the choruv hamurkav and the sadon hashikma, she'ein tzrichin legvul saviv. They don't need a border around them. If there ever arises a question of who the owner of it is, because they are so significant in and of themselves. Omar Rav Misharshia, Mikan, from this you see the Mitzorim, borders, Min HaTorah, that the idea of having borders around fields is sanctioned by the Torah. We're going to take a look at the Rashbam to embellish a little bit of this Gemara. In the first Rashbam we want to look at is identified by an asterisk in the middle of the narrow section. There, the Rashbam says, Ule Midrash Asa. The pasuk here is for expansion, to expound on it. Mi Shitzorach Legvul. Oisan Ilonois. Those kind of trees that need a boundary in order to help identify who the owner is, Kona, he acquires. Shitzrichin Yoslem Vul Saviv. Lomar, so as to prevent anyone else coming along and protesting and say, in order to prevent someone from coming and say, hey, those trees are mine, say, hey buddy, don't you see there's a border here? That's part of my field. Things, thin trees that don't have significance in and of themselves, and it could be forgotten whoever planted them. Therefore, it's necessary to build a border around them. They're big and important and significant. The Avshim Milsayu, and Avshim Milsayu is an expression meaning there's a lot of noise around them. The Odua Shelmihem, everyone knows who owns them. Ubakarka mi heim netuin, in whose plot of land they are planted. Ve'ein tzrichin gvul. Hilkoch einon bechval hasadeh saviv. The next Rashbam as well, Omar of Misharshia, mikan lemitzor min haTorah. Sha'akoina es hasadeh, one who buys a field, kono es hamitzorim atzmum. He also gains ownership of the borders. The chol ha'ilonos hanetuah b'meitzar, and all trees that are planted on the border. The mitzorim b'chlal sada. The point that we're trying to emphasize is this, that the borders are part of the field. We've seen in previous Gemaras and other places that mitzorim, these borders might in fact be a rill of raised ground or a depression that surround the field. So at first glance, they might appear to be a separate entity. And that's what we're emphasizing here, that they're part of the field. The Hochi Mashmes Soviv, Kol Ha'ilonos Hanetuim Bekarka, a Meitzar, Shehu Soviv Hasodeh Kono Avram. That's what the implication of the word Soviv, as it appears in the Pasuk, is that Avram, when he bought the Machpelah, he got the border and trees that were found thereon. Going back into the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda. We have a point, a long point, that's illustrated by the vertical dashed line that appears between the Tosus and the Gemara with a Nun. The Nun is a Nekuda, a point. And it takes up all of the lines that are opposite this vertical dashed line. Amar of Yehuda, Hai man de mizvan ara lechavrei, one who is selling a plot of land to his friend, Sorech lemichtav lei, he has to include in the contract the following clause: Kni loch diklin vitolin vehutzin vetzitzin. These are different kinds of palms. The Rashbam makes reference to them. Dikli are shegodlu kol tzorchan, fully grown palms. Tolin shetshtilin toim bachurim, young palms, saplings. Hutzin, Vitzitzin, he also says, are different types of palms. So, when one is selling a field, he wants to add this in the contract. The afagav dechilo kosav lehachi, and even if he doesn't write this text into the contract, kuni, he, the buyer, nevertheless, acquires them anyway. Nevertheless, shufra d'shtora hu. This expression, shufra d'shtora, the Rashbam says, yipui koach hashtar. It strengthens the shtar. The afilu iosu lifnei bezdin toyin, even if the shtar, this contract, would ever appear in front of a court of those erring justices, judges that aren't that familiar with halacha, they're called a bezdin toyin, yohiv lei, the buyer will nevertheless gain ownership of these, sharei mefurashin besoch hashtar, because they've been delineated in an explicit fashion. This halacha, of course, was really referenced to by the Mishnah in its saying that when one sells a field, all the trees are included therein as well. The Mishnah featured two that are not, so you can therefore assume that all other kind of trees are included. But the Gemara here had just said it, is simply that it would be worthwhile to delineate that point in an explicit fashion, that you're also getting the trees as well, so as to not get in trouble with a bezdin of unskilled judges. Omar Lay, Aro Vidikli. Before we go on, we notice the appearance of multiple appearances of double underlines. Double underlines in our marking system represents a series marking, something of a repetitive nature, and we try in our Shas Ozer edition to explain these as they come along. On the outside margin, you notice the Nosei Mivneh, double underline, says Sidra Shel Tanoim, a list of conditions. She Omer Hamocher b'mechira sadeo, that the seller of a field states at the time of sale, umam mashma usam, and what is implied by these different conditions. We will later on see the appearance of a diamond and what its use we'll get to later. Amale, aro v'dikli. A seller says, I'm selling you aro v'dikli. There's a Rashbam that you can find by spotting the asterisk in the wide lines. Aro v'dikli mazvin aloch shnei mechiros hein. There's a sale of land and sale of dikli. Sode zu shani mocher aloch v'kones ha-sode v'es ha-dekolim shebesocho. The first part of the sale is the sale of land. What is implied, or what's included in that? Well, you get the land and you get the palms that are growing in the land. And then there's a second item, second unit being sold. Vidikli nami mazvinolach b'mokom acher. Palms that I happen to own somewhere else, I'm also selling to you. Notice what we've done in the markings in the Rashi. We've got a slashed diagonal underlining. What have we done? The first one, the first phrase was Ves hadekolem shebesocho. Trees that, the palms that are in the field itself being sold. And what else is being sold? Trees that are b'mokom acher, trees in a different location. The Rashbam concludes, the halo ka'omar ara bitigli k'dekamon. In this case, it's a matter of focusing on one letter. He doesn't use a base, he uses a vav. He didn't say a land, ara, with its palms, as opposed to a case later on. Dehavi mashma dekolim shebesocho. That would have been mashma, that would have had a different implication. The field with the trees that are in it. So let's continue in the Gemara. Omale aro vidikli. Chazinon, we evaluate, we look. And we're going to notice three breakdowns. Aleph, e is le dikli, if he has palms, he owns palms, palms that are located elsewhere other than in the field that he's selling. So yohiv le tre dikli, he has to provide for the buyer two palms, namely two palms other than the palms that are in the field that he's selling. Ve'i les le, if the if he doesn't own outside palms, then Zovinle Tradikli, then the seller over will have to go out and buy two palms to conclude this particular sale. Because he said, I'm selling you land and palms. So you said you're selling him palms. Where are your palms? You got to go buy them in order to transfer it to the buyer. Gimel, ve'i mishabdi, if the seller owns palms, but there's a lien on them to a lender. So this guy who is selling his field and the palms, he's porek le tradikli. He's expected to literally redeem two palms. It would mean to pay off the value of the loan corresponding to those two palms so that he could transfer it to the buyer. Another case, ara bidikli. I'm selling you a piece of land with the palms in it. Chazinon, we evaluate. E is ba dikli zvine zvini. If there are in fact trees, like the guy said, I'm selling you land, a piece of land with its trees. So if there are trees in it, then the sale is a good sale. Vi lav, if there are no palms in this piece of land, mekachto su, then it's a mistaken sale, and hence there's no deal. Another case, aro bay dikli, less lay dikli. The buyer has no claim on palm trees. It's quite interesting. The fellow said, I'm selling you ara bay dikli. And there the Gemara says that the buyer has no claim on trees. My time off. Answer. The question is, so why is that? Answer, the chazio le dikli komarle. The expression ara bay dikli simply means a piece of property that is fit for the growth of palm trees. Fit for growth of doesn't mean that there are any palm trees right now. As we continue, we of course notice the double underlining system continues, but we're now introduced to an additional form, the diamond, and on the outside margin we've indicated labar, that the diamond surrounds that word. Hisno b'mechira sadeu shemochro chutz mi. Fellow was selling a field and he mentioned on condition that except for, I'm selling you this field except for something, and that's the labar, highlights the word indicating except for. Continuing, Omar Lay, fellow says, I'm selling you, but labar midiklo planya. I'm selling you a field with the exception of that particular palm. Chazinon, we have to evaluate. E dikla tovahu, if the tree that the fellow delineated when he said chutz, he said except for dikla planya, if that tree is a tree that's, we have written between the lines, kigon ta'in kav, it produces a kav worth of fruits. That's considered a tree that has some significance to it. It's producing the minimum amount of fruits. So we say shiure shire, that in effect he's leaving it out of the deal. What did the guy say? Again, where the double underline appears, he says, I'm selling you a field, labar midikla planya, except for that tree. And then we analyze, if that tree that he delineated is one that is tovahu, it produces a kav of fruits, a specific measure of fruits, then that's what's being left out. E dikla bishahu, if it's a poor quality tree, then kol shekein hanoch, certainly better trees are being left out. The fellow is selling a field and you say, except for that tree, and it's a poor quality tree, that's not included in the sale. So you can rest assured, certainly the good quality trees would not be included in the sale. The case just before, we mentioned, the line just before, we said, e tovahu, Shire Shire, if it was a good quality tree, so that is what's being left out. However, other trees, the lokeach would yes be able to acquire. However, if what he is leaving out is a poor quality tree, then he's certainly leaving out better quality trees as well. Amale labar mi'ili. If the seller said, I'm selling you a field without its ilni. So the Gemara analyzes. E is le ilni, labar mi ilni. If there are standard trees, so they're being left out. E is le dikli, then labar mi dikli. If he has no other trees in there other than palms, so the palms are being left out of the sale. E isle gufni, labar mi gufni. Likewise, if all that he has growing in this particular field are vines, so the vines are being left out. What about the following? Ilni vigufni. Fellow says, I'm selling you a field, and he mentioned labar mi ilni. What's being left out? So, labar mi ilni. I think that's a reasonable conclusion. The vines would be included, but not the ilni. The ilni, the other trees, the standard trees, are not included. Ilni vidikli. Labar mi ilni. Likewise, if in the field there were two kinds of trees, ilni and palms, so the ilni are not included. Again, that's what he said. He said, I'm selling you labar mi ilni. That was the case with the double underline most recently. But now the challenging case. Gufni vidikli. He has in this parcel, on this parcel of land, he's got vines and palms. And what had he said? He said, I'm selling you this labar mi ilni. So what we have to do is we have to figure out which one of these, the gufni versus the dikli, which one is closest to ilni. So the Gemara rules, labar mi gufni. In order to appreciate this conclusion, let's take a look at the Rashbam. He's found the lower part of the page. Gufni vidikli, labar mi gufni. E omale labar mi ilni. That's what the seller said. I'm selling you the field without the ilni. The ein besadeh le dekolam gfanim. And that's all that he has growing there, are palms and vines. Hadekolim mochar v'agifanim shir. He's including the palms, but leaving out the gifanim, the vines. The gifanim legabi dekolim nikroim ilni ubichlal ilni heim tfei mitikli keini rabbi enai. Rashbam claims that if you had to pit off the gifanim versus the dekolim, which one is closer to an ilni definition? The Rashbam explains that the gufni, relative to the dikli, the gufni are more ilni related. Hence, they're not included in the deal. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav. The form here is a new form. Let's define it first. On the outside margin, you see this little house form. It surrounds Rav and Daine Goyla. Daine Goyla, you'll have to scroll down to the next Omid, Daf Ayin Omid Aleph, and you'll notice there that Daine Goyla also appear in the house form. The Gemara says, Omar Rav. This is referring to the Gemara before. The Gemara said, I'm selling you a field, labar mi ilni. Kol she'olin loy bechevel have shiur. Any tree that you ascend with the aid of a rope, you need a rope in order to ascend to get to the heights of the tree. That's a big tree. And that's what's being excluded when they say, I'm selling you labar mi'ilni. That kind of thing is excluded. Kol she'ein oilin loy b'chevel lo havishiur. It's small, and it hence doesn't need the rope in order to ascend it. That's not called ilni. The Dayone Goyla, Amri, going to the top of Ayin Omer Aleph, they hold Kol Sha'ol Koivshoi Loi Have Shiur. Any type of tree that is such that the animal who plows the field with its yoke on around its neck, and that yoke, if it comes into contact with this tree, would bend the tree, that's not an exception. It's included in the field. Once again, it's so young, it's able to be bent by the animal passing by it. Kol she'ein ha'oil koiv shoy, something that offers resistance to the animal, to the two-ton ox with its yoke around it, it doesn't bend upon contact with it, is considered a separate entity. That's considered, that would be left out if I say I'm selling you a field, labar mi'ilni. And the Gemara concludes by saying, v'lo pligi, there's no controversy between Rav and the Dayone Goyla. Hobedikli, the rope standard, that's used when dealing with palms. Ha bi'ilni, the animal standard, that's what applies to the ilni. As you probably all know, a palm tree is a tall variety tree, often, most often, and you would need a rope to scale the tree. Hence, that's the standard that applies to the dikli. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.